to see how fucking awful
we're going live. Oh. Sorry.
What's going on, guys? Back seats back. We are at the first ever historic wrestling event here at the brand new American Dream Mall. Come on, follow us. We're getting ready for a huge show, the first ever wrestling event here at the American Dream Mall, giving us some WCW Monday Night Nitro vibes.
They literally built this mall just so we could have this show live and in effect.
That's right.
Back seats are back. We're doing it up huge. Always making history. You never know what's gonna happen. Stay tuned. Backseat's back.
Monday, April 7th, the Backseat Boys return to Burlington, New Jersey to defend the SPOM Wrestling Tag Team Championships. And we are putting on the first ever Silver Scramble Cell match. It's gonna be hosted by us, Tommy and JP, the Backseat Boys, and five other tag teams are gonna step up. Let's hope they step out alive. We're walking away from the belts this time, guys. SPO, Sunday, April the 7th.
All right, welcome everybody to another Spocast, episode 19.
Wow.
How's it going, guys? Welcome back.
What's happening, y'all?
What up, John and the boys?
What's up?
Whoa.
Boom. A little gun show to start off the night.
Huge.
There we go.
Yeah.
What up, Wrestling Claws? How you doing, bro?
Big gun show. Wrestling Claws is here? Yes, he is, all the way from you-know-where, Australia.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually watching a show. I'm watching a show right now
worldwide
from Australia called The Tourist with the guy from 50 Shades of Grey. And dude, did you know that kangaroos run after headlights so you can't drive at night in certain parts of Australia, or they'll just run into your car and kill themselves? Like, how are there any kangaroos left in the world? I don't understand.
Why would the kangaroo do that?
It's like how we have to deal with, deer around here.
Yep.
It is. It's like deer.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or like in Florida, they deal with gators.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So amphibians. Guys, we got a lot going on. So we promised we're going to do two matches. We're going to announce two matches tonight for Endgame Part 2, but we also have a bunch of announcements for Endgame Part 1. So definitely stay tuned for the rest of this, because it's going to be jam-packed with announcements. And we also have a really big show next week for our go-home show next Monday. So we're going to talk about that as well. So welcome to Fortnite to Endgame. That's the night. Yes. That's the name of the show. In Abe Lincoln days, what did a Fortnite mean, Donnie B?
Oh, fuck.
2 weeks, brother. Two weeks.
I was going to say 30 days, so that wouldn't make sense. I should have known that. Yeah.
Fortnite Battle Royale. I used to catch a few dubs playing with the boys on lives. I know about Fortnite.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the game, the video game that all the people play or something? My nephews play that. I tried it once for like 30 seconds. I couldn't figure it out. And then like they said I had to pay to get – different skin in the game or some bullshit and get a weapon and all that. I was like, what the fuck? What happened to Contra? Just give me the guns that fall from the sky or whatever, and I'll run around and shoot fireballs with those.
I miss Contra, man.
I gotta pay to play a video game once I'm already paid to play the game. Bullshit, I'd say.
We'll just go back to the 80s and spend our quarters, right, Donnie?
We used to line them up on top of the arcade machine. We used to line them. You put your initials on the quarter to see if anybody jumped you. And you put like DB on mine, Donnie Bucci, and Nova would be right next to mine. We'd put our queens up there and you'd wait in line patiently to play the game.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
True story.
Seriously. And that WrestleFest game.
Oh, bro.
It felt like we never had enough time to play. You never could sit in your house and comfortably play. You always had to like have someone behind you or hurry up. It was the worst.
Total shoot, Seaside Heights. We were in the middle of a marathon session of WrestleFest, and the arcade attendant had given us a shit ton of free credits because he was one of our boys. And we knew we were going to run over, and we said, F it. We'll take the $15 parking ticket because we had like $30 worth of free credits. We got a parking ticket because we overstayed our welcome. And we played WrestleFest, me, Nova, Artie Gant, a couple, Sean Boyd, a couple of us. And we just played it for hours, dude.
Wow.
True story.
When that, when that came out,
women in our lives at that point.
Yo, that WrestleFest was a bigger draw to the arcades than the Ninja Turtle 4-player or the Simpson 4-player.
That Ninja Turtle goddamn thing was just a quarter eater, man. If you got to certain levels, you just got to. I hated feeding machines. I hated, hated it. I was a fiend though with the Warrior. Warrior and Hogan was my team on WrestleFest.
I was Earthquake and Boss Man, brother. That was a dream team of mine.
Yeah.
No, Earthquake killed it, bro.
Brother, whenever you want to throw down the gauntlet.
Oh,
that's a challenge.
We should do
challenge.
It. We should do it, brother. I think that'd be over.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Live stream it.
So, guys, why don't we start off with a light side of the ring for once? What do you think? We'll make it nice and. So let's see here. We got a graphic for it and everything because
trademarked by us. Yes. I don't want to hear this. Some 2 weeks from now, somebody biting off this. I'm sure they will.
All right. Ahead, so John. Light side of the ring with Donnie B.
Oh, a light side. I'll say the light side. Well, I don't have a light side.
You don't have a light side. I'm sorry.
I got 15 minutes.
You have a 15 minutes. The light side is about what we just watched. I'm so stupid. Thank you for reminding me. We just watched that video of the back seats at the mall, the American Dream Mall. If you were listening, you at least heard the audio, but you can hear you can watch the whole thing on the Instagram. But guys, it was a really great event this past weekend and you guys were there. So maybe you want to talk a little bit about it and, yeah.
Yeah. First time ever at the American Dream Mall with a wrestling show. And how long did that take to build? Like what? Like 15, that was like 15 years in the making for that whole thing to be built.
Oh, bro. No. That American Dream Mall has been probably close to 25 years.
There you go.
When they started building that. Yes. And it was just a dilapidated structure. It went through like three ownerships. When I was going to Giant Stadium in the late 90s, like I remember seeing that being constructed then. And we were like, it's never going to get finished.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like just passing by that all the time was just like, man, like what are they going to do with that? And then to just, you know, 9 years, it was almost like our anniversary. And we got to wrestle Junior Flo and Crazy Ivan with Frankie Flo. That's Junior's father. And those are just, you know, three people that helped train us in the very beginning. So for that to happen in like, you know, a setting like that in like our 9 year anniversary was kind of just pretty surreal. It was awesome. It was a crazy event. Got to meet Cannon's sister actually. She came by. You know, got to, you know, meet some of the people from the team and whatnot.
Oh yeah, Marissa, I saw that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, just so many people came to support, and even if they weren't even just wrestling fans, it was just the reactions and the ovations and the sound was just the echoes, the acoustics. It was amazing.
Who was the promoter of that? Like who ran it? Like who was the promoter? What was the company? I don't know any of the particulars.
So the particulars, it's American Coliseum Wrestling. It's run by a man named Kevin Apollo, real name Kevin Clark. He's the gentleman who actually broke us in many years ago. I had a job working in the Palisades Mall working for him at the time. I was attending college studying broadcasting, and he was talking about, you know, wanting to put on events and everything. He had been out of the business for a number of years just due to injury and just having a you know, family, but I told him, I said, hey, my brother and I are looking to break in. And, you know, he eventually had us go and go train at ECPW because, you know, that's where he broke in. That's where he broke in a couple of other guys, such as Bull James, Mario Baccaro, a bunch of other guys that, you know, he ran with back in the day. He said, I could send you to Dreamers, I could send you to Creator Pro, but I know if you guys break in at Geno's, you guys will find your way to all those other schools on your own, which is what happened. So eventually ACW was formed in about 2018. And literally right before the pandemic, we ran a show at the Palisades Mall. And then 3 weeks later, the world shut down.
The world shut down like 3 weeks later. But that was like our last goodbye, you know, until COVID.
But I want to say maybe a year ago, Apollo started running much more mall shows. You know, we had an event in 2022 that actually we got to team with Tommy Dreamer at the Crystal Run Galleria, at Middletown. But last year, actually, we were able to do, that same wall. We were able to do the Palisades. And then, you know, full year later, we were able to have the first ever event at the East Rutherford American Dream Mall. It was the first ever event. And literally, as JP said, it was like WCW Monday Nitro vibes. It was.
Yeah. I think it's cool as shit, man. Like, I would love to have the guy on here and just pick his brain, like, you know, not pull back the curtain on this whole deal, but I would just like to, from a former promoter to another promoter, just find out how he went about it, how he cultivated the idea, the steps that go by. Because a lot of people will just see that and be like, oh, this guy got lucky. They let him put a show there. But they won't see the year or so's worth of work or all the meetings and phone calls that have to go on something like that. I would be interested in that. I'm a huge fan of outside-the-box stuff. I saw the photos and the footage that you guys had, and I was like, man, that is cool as shit. That's such a cool idea to get casual fans just from yesteryear that come by and see that and be like, oh, this is pretty cool, even if they stay for 5 or 10 minutes and then they move on to, you know, to Hot Topic or whatever. But it's right in the middle of the mall. I think that's cool as shit. I almost did something like that in, like, let's say 97 or 98 at the Ocean County Mall in Tom's River. We were close, man. We were like a hairline away from pulling it off, but we just couldn't come up. I wanted like a guarantee, a certain amount, and they didn't want to give that much. So then I was like, ah, screw it. And then we didn't do it, but I regret that because it could have been pretty cool. But yeah, man, I think that's cool as shit, dude. I don't know that dude, but tell him Big 80s tips the old cap to him there.
We will definitely we will definitely send him your way. We'll definitely try and get Kevin Apollo.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting.
We're definitely going to, you know, have him make an appearance on the Spocast. You know, you'll probably be seeing a lot more of him, you know, very, very soon. But just to wrap it up, put things into perspective and move on. We mentioned earlier wrestling, you know, the Flows and Crazy Ivan.
Big shout out to those guys again.
Just to pull back the curtain, you know, JP and I are finally approaching 9 years of taking bookings. Junior and I, that was my first ever singles match back in 2015. And the same night, two matches later, JP worked Frankie Flo. So the fact that those guys, you know, and we wrestled in La Boom in the middle of Queens, which is a real famous historic venue for New York City wrestling. So to be able to go out there and, you know, wrestle a father and son, it's almost like a weird dichotomy. And, you know, I'll be forever grateful to those guys for, you know, going out there and being, you know, just doing good business with us. And all these years later, it's shout out to them. But that's light side of the ring, John.
Yeah. Thank you guys. And real quick, we added Sunny Kiss to the outdoor free show. So the town of Burlington gets Sunny Kiss for free. That's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So very excited to have Sunny out there. So at 2:30, show up and the cages will be there and the event will start. The women's match, don't forget, Christina Marie versus Rebecca Scott. The winner will be the first ever women's champion. They're stepping inside the cell. This is a feud that's been months in the making. And right after that, we have the Scramble Cell itself. You heard Tommy Grayson talking about it in the mall, the Silver Scramble Cell. Carnage Crew, Backseat Boys, SCK, Golden Era, The Rep, CXR, six of the best tag teams in the world step inside the Scramble Cell. Last time this happened in Ring of Honor, all hell broke loose. And who knows if lightning will strike twice. We shall see, guys. But you're going
in
as champion.
That's so cool, man. That's awesome, bro. I'm so proud of you for putting that together. And it's kind of cool that DeVito's going to – I think it's awesome that DeVito's going to be there. I've said it a million times, you know, Tony DeVito's one of those unsung heroes. Those in the know and in the business know all about DeVito and what he's all about. But I don't think he ever will get the mainstream credit that DeVito deserves as an upper echelon trainer or, you know, the hierarchy of veterans in the business. And it's because he doesn't put himself over. That's why he doesn't get on here and look for approval or glad handing. I'll gladly do it for him. But DeVito is one of those unsung heroes of the business, in my opinion.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And look, Bobby Fish, one of his top students, Bobby Fish, I used in Pro Wrestling Unplugged back in what had to be 05 because he was a DeVito student back then. And I put the tag titles on him. He was one of the first PW Tag Team Champion. He wrestled as Jerk Jackson. So fresh off AEW TV, you know, one of the original Undisputed Era. And he's going to be there for free, by the way. Everyone in Burlington can come and he will, you know, explain kind of what Donnie just said about DeVito, but in his own words, from a different perspective. So the more good we can hear about DeVito, the better.
And yeah.
Segues right into the Carnage Crew. If it's DeVito's last match, it's obviously the Carnage Crew's last match too. So, yeah. You know, not only are we losing an awesome singles talent, we're losing a tag team, guys. And if the last year and a half has told us anything, it's we can't afford to lose any more good frigging tag teams.
Nope.
So that's got me a little bit upset. But anyway.
They're always one of those teams. Yeah, the Baldies. Baldy's Carnage Crew, a good heel team that you could put in there to get baby faces over. And DeVito always did his job like a good soldier. If you look back at all the old ECW shit, when like whoever the baby face was out there bumping everybody, DeVito was right there, man, getting his ass kicked and showing his ass. And yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just a big DeVito guy. Nova, if Nova was on this microphone, he would tell you the exact same thing.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited, man. And we're going to get to spend time with DeVito for the weekend, too. You know, because he's in Philly, so it'll be great to actually spend some time with him. And so just to round out the outdoor show, Batman will be there, of course, the Burlington Batman and Live Danger. And they have a very special announcement for the entire city. So I'm interested to see what that could be.
Wow.
Crowd loves these guys, so it's going to be interesting.
They did really, really good this past weekend also at the American Dream. Connor Rossi flying back from Miami just to do this show. That is a tag team partner right there.
Mm-hmm. went to Miami for Ultra Fest, like one of those EDM rave fests, came back for the mall show, and then went all the way back to Miami just to finish up his tour.
Yeah, he drop kicked his way back to Miami, apparently. Yeah. So then the indoor show starts after we have bell time approximate. All right. So 2:30, the outdoor show starts, however long it takes these two cage matches and whatever other nonsense happens. And then we're going to move everyone inside who paid. And if there's room, we'll sell tickets, you know, but there's not a lot of general admission left. So buy them. But we have already talked about it. Homicide versus Scorpio, you know, Don versus Don. We talked about this last week. And then we also talked about the cinematic match. Joe Clean versus Pat Dynamite, exploding broom closet match. This is going to be interesting. This is one of those matches. Well, you know what? It's like, I'm not going to go as far as to say it's like when Kennedy got shot or when, you know, OJ Simpson drove the white Bronco, but I have a feeling you're going to remember where you were when you watched this match.
I'm really excited for that. I purposely didn't ask you anything about it because I want to just see it with virgin eyes. I just want to see it as it unfolds. I'm like more psyched for that than some of the Mania matches, to be honest with you.
I'm pretty excited for it too, to be honest.
And I don't know either one of those guys, but I want to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then the match you made, Donnie, me versus Jordan. Jordan just returning from Japan, so this is gonna be crazy. Yeah, I'm tongue tied. I don't know what's gonna happen, but I know I have to make it good, and I can't let people down, and I ain't gonna. That's all
that might be the sleeper match of the weekend. I know GCW shows and everybody else has a ton of matches that weekend. We'll get to that in my 15 minutes. But I honestly think that match, that one-on-one encounter, is one of the most historically important matches of the entire weekend. I really do.
I agree.
When you look at it on paper, if you wrote everything down that's going to transpire in the tri-state area next weekend, that's got to be at the top of the list right next to Homicide and Too Cold. I mean, good Lord.
Thank you.
Yeah, bro.
Much appreciated. Throw
me down. I booked it. Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't going to let you down, brother. I promise.
I know.
So we also have, of course, the 15 Minutes of Fame Rumble that we announced. We're going to find out Rick Blade is going to address his future. Did I not put the Rick Blade one down here?
Ooh.
Put it up in the corner. Sorry, Blade. But Rick Blade addresses his future in front of the crowd. He's going to go out there. I don't even know what he's going to say. Spo Wrestling has no idea what he's going to say. I don't even think Blade knows what he's going to say yet. But we'll find out. So, all right, drum roll. We're going to announce two matches. You guys ready? Get this out of the way. We can talk. All right, here we go. First off, the international incident.
Oh, yeah.
From China, Bufa Io with the boombox versus Bret Hart's protege himself, all the way from Dungeon Wrestling in Canada, Mo Jabari, making his Spo debut. So that's going to be a good one.
That's awesome, bro. That's such a mark for Bufa.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know the backseats love Bufa, so
yeah. And you know, we love us some Mujibari as well.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So this is going to be
some awesome talent on this show, dude. This is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Mujibari had what I think might be Johnny Cashmere's best singles run of 2023.
Really?
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mo is a ring general. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what a veteran like Bufa and a young general like Mujibari have in store. And it's international. You know, you got.
Yeah,
Canada against China, you know, right in New Jersey. It's like, who would have thought we would have had an international incident?
Canada versus China by way of Burlington, New Jersey.
Bingo.
Sounds about right.
It all happens here, April 7th.
And then, that's crazy, bro.
So one more match, Donnie. I think you're going to like this one. Ready? So New Jersey's own Lucky 13 versus Big Dan Moff.
Such a mark for Moff. I see Dan and I just say, like, how the hell is a guy like that not employed full time in the pro wrestling industry? I just don't get it, man. I just don't fucking get it. That'll be part of my 15 minute, but I don't get it.
Yeah.
And Lucky 13, I don't know Lucky as well as you guys do, but he's great. But Dan is just, he's believable. He's one of a handful of people in the business that are believable.
Yes.
He calls himself the Bayonne Badass. You know, he's not the Bayonne Easter Bunny. You know what I mean? Like, you look at that and you go, holy shit, I believe that man has done time or is capable of killing someone to do time. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't want to put a murder on him. I'm just saying that's the appearance that Dan gives.
I agree. He's one of the most intense men I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, in a good way.
Well, for wrestling, it's a great way.
Yeah,
that's for damn sure. But here's the Rick Blade. So Rick Blade will address his future. And you could see the difference. If you look at the picture on the left in the middle, that's the Rick Blade I used to know. And then look at him now on the right. I mean, we're talking easy, what, 20, 25 pounds of muscle? More? 40 pounds of muscle? He looks
like those Russian toys that are like, they go inside of each other. Like the big one could go in the middle one, and the middle one could go on the one on the far left. Yes. But Blade did not sit on his ass and eat bonbons for the last 20 years, I can tell you that. Rick Blade looks great.
Rick Blade and Steve Austin are the only two bald men that could take 20 years off and come back and still act and wrestle like it's 2003 and hit all of their shit perfectly.
Yeah. So
that just says something about, you know, I guess the way it used to be, you know, those guys were eating their Wheaties and, you know, saying their prayers, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Damn right. And guys, by the way, what do you think of my new shirt?
Oh, I love it, bro.
Brother,
I need one of those.
You can get these at SpoWrestling.com if you're a fan. If you're one of the wrestlers that wrestles for Spo, you know, maybe you'll just wrestle a match for free for us and we'll throw you one at the end of the night.
No,
that's your hot dog and a handshake. It's a t-shirt and a dude wipe.
a menthol flavored dude wipe, of course. Someone's saying gonna have to make Donnie in 2K4 now, 24, like I did in 2K23. Yes, you are. Get on that. Why is it not done already?
Facts.
Yeah.
Donnie B, look, Matt Dremont had a question for you. Speaking of Nova, did we ever get a rebuttal after what Raleigh had to say?
And no, I don't think we did.
No. And I reached out to Nova. We're gonna do full disclosure here. I reached out to Nova the week Donnie was on vacation, when Donnie had forsaken us and left us alone. And Nova was unable to do that Monday night, or else he would have. We were actually going to try to just put Big 80s in the thing and see if anyone noticed the difference. But
I think he does the financial literacies on Monday night with OVW, I think.
That's what I think it was, yeah.
Actually, you know what? Wouldn't be a bad idea if we had him on here one night to talk about that for young indie talent and stuff. Maybe after it dies down, after this April 7th show, maybe we could do that. It's not a bad idea.
No, not a bad idea at all. Yeah. Speaking of who can we have on, next week's our go-home show, next Monday. And we have a very special guest. We dug someone out of the bin. The Messiah, my boy from the High Five, HIV, CZW extraordinaire, PWU, former champion everywhere. My friend, me and the Backseat Boys friend. I mean, this is my boy. I love Messiah. Billy, he lives in LA. So we're going to have a special start time next week of 9:15 p.m. Mm-hmm. And at about 9:30, we will have the Messiah on. And that'll be about 6:15 and 6:30 if you're on the West Coast. So do not miss that next week. Spread the word. The Messiah is going to talk. I want to hear what he has to say about Blade, about GQ. I want to know what he thinks of the new Backseat Boys. So Messiah is going to be interesting to talk to next week.
I mean, I've told you since day one, Johnny, you know, I've been a fan of Messiah, you know, literally since I discovered all you guys, you know, right. His TOD match with Mondo, the reversal he did where Mondo went for the head scissors and Messiah dropped him on the bundle of light tubes face first. I was like, that is the most innovative thing I've ever seen in my life. And I was hooked right then and there. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, talking with Messiah. And, you know, who knows if he's ever on the East Coast, you know, he's somebody that I would love to, you know, help, I guess, bring out of the Lazarus pit. If possible.
We'll get him down here, man. Like I was telling Blade and GQ that if we start a faction of all the old CZW guys, we're going to call it FOMO, fear of missing out. And that's going to try to draw more people to come out of the closet.
That's good.
So, Wrestling Cause said, sick. Looking forward to seeing Messiah next Spokecast episode. Hell yeah, brother. He'll be here next week.
Yeah.
That is Messiah, Messiah Cause.
Like, it was Backseats, Nick Mondo, Messiah. Those were, you know, the guys who really got us, you know, hooked on watching, you know, indie wrestling, CZW, all that kind of stuff. You know, those are
Blackout. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yes, exactly. And Messiah is someone who has a really good instinct for wrestling, and he's keeping in touch. He knows he's someone that can analyze wrestling very well. So he's someone that's going to be able to give advice and give, you know, and he's excited for Blade and everyone. So it's going to be hot. Yeah, I'm excited for it too, bro. Before we get to the 15 minutes, I just want to mention that Cheeseburger still trains on Monday, Tuesday. And Wednesday's his advanced class, and then Coach Preacher on Thursday. I'm going to head down this week, try to get a training session in with GQ, maybe with Rick Blade. Bada bing. But Donnie B, my friend,
yes.
This week's episode or edition of 15 Minutes of Fame is brought to you by the 15 Minutes of Fame Rumble, which will be at Endgame Part 2. Tickets at SpoWrestling.com. T-shirt combo. Donnie B, take it away.
Yes, the 15 minutes of fame. I just added that in there. So for my 15 minutes of fame, I want to talk about something that I find to be a little alarming when it comes to wrestling next weekend. As everybody knows, it's WrestleMania weekend. Everybody and their mother is running next weekend. There's a million shows. With that being said, the other day I was perusing the internet and I saw a couple of gentlemen on there. And I have to say, it was LSG and I saw Homicide on there and Mike Kaner on there and a couple others. And they all had indicated on there that they were available and free for most of the fucking weekend when it came to wrestling shows. And I had to look at it. I had to look at it twice, and I was like, are you shitting me, man? LSG and Homicide are out there telling people that they don't have full bookings for WrestleMania weekend. I just was utterly shocked that there'd be dipshit promoters out there, idiots, who were running events and not automatically booking these guys. Like, even I don't know if the reps calendar is full or even you guys or all these other top talent. And so I started looking at some of the lineups and some of the other shows that are out there. They were just god awful. You have one chance to make an impression with some of the fans that are coming in from the outside area, and you're offering up plates of shit. I mean, I see guys like Trax or Victor Benjamin or Donovan and these guys who aren't fully booked throughout the weekend. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing putting this dog shit out there when you have top guys out there who I'm sure for a couple of dates, if everybody could get together like for trans and this and that or split hotels and whatever, it's so easily done. But you got, like I said, you got a guy on there like LSG saying, hey, man, I'm available on X, Y, and Z or Homicide or Mike Kaner saying he didn't have any bookings for WrestleMania weekend. Like, what the fuck? This is just one of the problems with indie wrestling, dude. All these guys, they want to pop up their tent. run their circus, but they don't know how to be a ringmaster. They're the drizzling shits. Thank God I did see on the Thursday night WrestlePro was running one of the Thursday night shows. And I think Sean Donovan does a lot of that. He's the booker. LSG said, for bookings, contact Sean Donovan when it comes to WrestlePro, those Thursday night shows. Sean's going to love the fact that I just said that. Email Sean Donovan to get booked on all of those shows, all right? So I just wanted to put that out there. When guys like that aren't fully booked on a weekend of shows, it just makes you shake your head and go, if they're not working that weekend, who the hell is working? And that's my 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, buddy. And now I'm going to talk on that for a second, if you don't mind, brother.
Go ahead.
So what I think of for WrestleMania weekend, it's like a game of musical chairs. There's not enough for everyone, but there's almost enough for everyone.
Yeah.
And as soon as that music stops, all the wrestlers cut each other off to sit in the chair. And let me tell you the problem being a promoter at WrestleMania, Donnie, that I had never realized. If let's say WrestleMania is April 6th and 7th. Let's say I booked talent in January or February. Well, you better believe I'm paying full price for that talent, right? But now that it's 2 weeks out and they realize they're not booked places and they're saying, hey, I'm available. Put me on this show. Put me on that show. You think those promoters are paying the full price?
No.
Exactly.
Well, the double edged sword is you don't have as long to promote them either. So it's like, you know, that's the, you know.
That's true. But that, see, that's what starts happening. So Mania weekend is like this cluster musical chairs thing. And I feel bad for the workers because no one wants to be left out. You know, like John McChesney was like, dude, I've never done a WrestleMania weekend. And I'm like, well, you know, they didn't even start doing it till Ring of Honor started doing it. So it's not like working WrestleMania weekend is this time honored tradition since the 60s or something. Yeah. But it's become the biggest thing every year now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And and the fact that guys like even Moff, I saw that Moff was just added, but these guys that all these talents I just rattled off should be calling them and they should be saying, sorry, man, I'm already booked on the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, whatever it is. Like the fact that anybody has an opening next weekend of the names that I just mentioned is goddamn insanity, dude.
And there's so much happening all at once on top of that.
Yeah.
You know,
and think of how hard it's going to be to get. Yeah, double shots ain't going to be easy. And think how hard it's going to be to get your clip noticed after WrestleMania weekend. Think of how many clips are going to be going on Instagram of all the wrestling matches and every spot that everyone did.
Somebody's going to do something stupid. They're going to set themselves on fire and do something retarded or whatever. Oh, I just said a retarded word. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
You're going to see a million cutters and a million, you know, just dives and whatnot and...
Here's a fan. I mean, someone said, I'm trying to get my uncle and dad to come out to this. They used to love CZW and ROH and ECW as teenagers. So they're going to think this card is sick as the F word. Awesome, dude. Thank you. That's what we need. We need the old heads coming back, man.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
These are your dad's probably going to know Rick Blade, you know, ask him, and the Messiah. He probably knows all of us. So yeah, man, tell him that we'd all like to see him there. That'd be awesome. So
yeah, anyway. That means you're hit. Their father and uncle were like raised up in like the best era, you know. It's like they were brought up on ECW, ROH, all that.
Mm-hmm. It means could you like just imagine that,
like going these to kids growing up,
these kids growing up, it's like, you know, like they think they got it like made and everything, or like they're growing up in like the best era. It's like, let me tell you, like I would have killed. Like, thank God for like the internet being around, but like I would have killed to have grown up in South Jersey or like Philly during like this, because you know our parents weren't driving 2.5 hours for us to go to shows.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, we were lucky, like Rockland. We were lucky if we got a show once every like, you know, like year and a half.
Right. Yeah. So that makes perfect sense. That's how it's always been. And guys, we have a new, so all right. So we already have the 15 minutes of fame. That was like week two. We thought of that. Donnie and JP came up with that. Then we have the light side of the ring, which Rick Blade and Donnie B came up with. So now starting, I guess, next week, because I don't know if anyone has one this week, we're going to have 50 shades of wrestling. No, it's not sexual. It is about shady, creepy totally promoters not. And whoever else that should not be in our business and do craziness that we can laugh at. So 50 shades of wrestling. You guys,
that is tremendous. I could probably write 3 books on that, and that's not even an exaggeration. You know, I worked for one of the greatest, and although people said he was shady, I mean, I love Dennis Carluzzo, but maybe we had some questionable things back in the Dennis day. But I could write the goddamn book on that.
Well, you got a week. Think of one next.
I will.
One day at 9:15, we can debut our 50 Shades of Wrestling before the Messiah comes on.
Sweet.
So that'll be interesting. Yeah, I'm excited for all that. So, guys, you got a big weekend coming up this weekend. Actually, all 3 of us do, right? If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, what do we got? There we go. Homicide and Uptown Boys. First, Johnny Cashmere and the Backseat Boys, or they could just say the Backseat Boys. That would work too, but they wanted to get my name in there and my nipple, as you can see on the screen.
Yep.
But yeah, man, that's at the Mecca, and it's going to be a six man, and Homicide's in it this Saturday night, Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. Pretty cool, huh?
Some trios action.
Cool. Awesome, man. What's that, Saturday night?
Saturday night. And then next Sunday's Easter Sunday. I'm going to be heading to Columbus in the morning because there's going to be thousands of people. And it's supposed to be 70 degrees on Sunday. So.
Is that a big gimmick, the Columbus deal on Easter? Yeah, that's like Seaside. Here, everybody goes to the boardwalk and shit after the bunny comes.
There'll easily be a couple thousand people. Easy. And, you know what else I wanted to tell you? A couple weeks ago, our buddy Chris Dark King Sierra did a live drawing, a live sketching of Trinacid. It was wonderful. I don't know if we ever showed it on the air. If we didn't, we should. But this past Sunday, he did Channing Decker. Check that out.
Wow.
And you can see that's him on
Instagram. Did this?
So it's Indie Wrestling Art _2. His name is Chris Sierra. He goes by Dark King. And he does these live. He's got so many different people that he sketched. He's got some awesome Joey Janela's. He's got some great Nick Mondo's. He's got some just awesome Briscoe's.
Crazy portfolio of different guys. I mean, I've seen his collection. Yeah, he does live drawings. So he'll go live with he went live with Johnny. He went live with Channing, and he'll just have a conversation and draw you.
Yep. And we got our upcoming events. We said April 7th in Burlington, May 19th back in Burlington, June 23rd. We debut in Gloucester City, New Jersey. More on that after the 7th. That's going to be an interesting event, unlike anything SPO has ever done before. And part of it, most of it, was the brainchild of these two guys right here. So we're going to get into some new charted territories and spelunk some new cave entrances.
Wow. Spelunk, you just said.
Wow. You know what it is? It's because I watched... the new Indiana Jones the other night. Have you guys seen it?
I liked it. No. I saw it when it came out in the theater. I thought, for me, from nostalgia, for a mark that was in the theater when the first one came out and saw them all in the theater, my grandmother, my family and stuff. Dude, Indiana Jones, there's a shoot. Indiana Jones is my favorite movie character of all time.
Oh, I love it.
A lot of people don't know that. Yeah, it's true. It's a shoot. It's Indiana Jones. But for
here's
me,
the problem.
It was cool.
Here's the problem. In the first one, you had the snakes. Second one, you had the bugs. Third one, you had the rats. They were all real. In the fourth one, you had the ants that were CGI and weren't scary at all. And in this one, you had the eels and the bugs that were obviously CGI. So they're not scary.
Yeah.
They couldn't get real eels.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fucking 80-year-old Harrison Ford didn't want to roll around real eels to satiate you.
did you see the mule or whatever? What was the show, the movie with Clint Eastwood where he's 92 in the movie? Did you see that one?
Gran Torino?
Oh, mule. No.
Mule.
Oh.
Mule.
Mule.
Dude, he got down on all fours to look underneath the car, and you're like, there ain't no way he's getting back up. He was that bad. And I got to say, Harrison Ford in some of those action scenes –
yeah, brother. But it was Indiana Jones, bro. Even the finish with the hat and the clothesline, whatever it was, I was just like, man, this is cool. Like, I don't know. It was a nostalgia deal for me. Again, I was there on opening night when Raiders of the Lost Ark came out. And you got to understand, back then, there was no internet. You had to call up and get your movie times. You had to go get your ticket. You had to wait in the theater. Usually that summer, you'd see the trailers for the following year. A year in advance, they'd have a teaser trailer. The year before Indiana Jones came out, in the trade books and this and that, you'd see like a blurb about a movie being produced. And I just remember it was a thing about an archaeologist. And I was like, what? Because I was a big mark for archaeology. But I remember sitting in the theater the year before and seeing the trailer. It said Indiana Jones and it had some footage instead of Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I was like, holy shit, they made a movie about an archaeologist. But yeah, man, I got the chills watching that.
Well, Harold Pollack says, I really liked the new Indy. I saw it twice at the theater. So, I mean, I liked it. What did you think of Sala? Did you know that John Rhys, whatever his name is, Davies, he actually played Gimli in Lord of the Rings. You know that, right, Donnie?
Yeah.
So did you see him in this one, how old he looks now as the cab driver?
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, that's cool. I was just happy to see it, bro. I mean, my father-in-law went to go see it. I loved it.
Mads Mikkelsen is one of my favorite actors. I think he's the best heel, and I didn't think he was a great heel in that movie. He could have been so much more hateable, like as Hannibal.
I think that's the guy who's one of the front runners for Doctor Doom, actually.
Yes.
He's one of them.
I love him. He's the kind of guy who can have a real smile on his face and still look evil as hell. That's
yeah, bro.
Art.
Yep.
I love him.
I did it for years.
Yeah, you did. You sure did. But anyway, anything else we got to plug?
I would like to plug a big announcement that I was while I'm on this show right now. We just finalized the details after 21 years of trying. Big 80s Donnie B and his missus and some friends of ours will be debuting in the Music City of Nashville, Tennessee at the end of May. Oh, I'm nice. Finally going to Nashville, bro. I've been trying to get to I've been Venice, Milan, Honolulu, Boston, fucking everywhere in between. The one place we've been trying to get to for the last 20 plus years that we've been together, it was Nashville, and we're finally going, dude.
Hell yeah.
So for me, it's like one of those things. It was one of the places on the list.
But Donnie, that preamble, I was thinking something else. You're like, well, me and the wife have been trying for 20 years and it's finally happening.
Oh my God. What? Unless they reverse modern science, that ship has sailed, my friend. No.
That if it was a boy, it would be destined for the WWE Hall of Fame right next to Rock's grandmother. It would be perfect.
Yes.
Did you guys hear about that? Rock's grandmother's going in the Hall of Fame. Character straight off TV, keep in mind. Straight off the Young Rock.
Amazing what you can do when you're on the board.
Well, and she ran the Polynesian wrestling, pro wrestling in Hawaii when Peter Maivia passed in like 80 something, and she ran it. So
I give her credit for taking it over, but if you know the history and you've studied the history, the Polynesian pro wrestling was not successful. No. It was marred by scandal and a lot of other shit. I give her a lot of credit for keeping it going in the memory of the High Chief, but I don't think I could put her in the Hall of Fame of, like, you know, Sam Barnett and fucking all the, you know, Vince, Paulie, all these other promoters, Mushnick. Not Mushnick. Who else am I thinking?
Graham.
Eddie Graham.
Cornette agrees with you, by the way. Cornette was talking about all this.
Oh, see? That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just going from, like, the history that I know. Again, I give her credit. A woman in a business that was probably very hard to navigate through, especially as a woman. But it wasn't ultra successful. It wasn't. Right. No matter what Rock says.
Well, it's the island of Hawaii. It's not that populated. I mean, that's not easy to walk around and flyer the island. Can you imagine?
No, I'm sure they drew some, but like on Young Rock, they did that one episode where they said they sold it out and this and that. Nah, man, the actual facts are a little bit different. I didn't know James E. talked about it. I'll have to listen to that.
He did. It's good. Yeah. And we have an update on from Wrestling Calls. The Trent Acid Create a Wrestler that he created is now up on Community Creations for 2K24. If you want to download, I have to plug myself here real quick. Yes, Wrestling Calls. Good job, brother. Awesome. Keep that up.
Hell yeah.
But yeah. So, all right, guys. So we got a big week ahead of us. Loud East Wrestling coming up. Had an awesome week past us. ACW running the mall, the American Dream Mall. What an awesome event. Like, I was so excited just standing and looking at the video and seeing the levels and up. And it was so neat. What a great opportunity for you guys to connect with your hometown people in a mall on a day when it's pouring rain. So everyone goes to the mall when it rains.
Dude, right. There were so many freaking people in that mall. Like, Justin and I pulled up probably around like 11 o'clock, and like the parking lots were, it was insane. And then on top of that, just the weather, it was like the streets were like absolutely flooded. Did not affect it whatsoever. Like, people say malls are dead. Sure. No, malls are alive and well. Let me tell you.
Let me ask you guys, do you think that the wrestling drew people to the mall, or was that crowd going to be there and they just saw the wrestling? You know what I mean? Like, was that mall packed regardless?
There's different reasons. So they had a convention going on that day as well.
There's Comic Con, like
many different thing, factors,
literally right next to it. Yeah.
You know, a whole bunch of celebrities and everything, like voice actors, all that kind of stuff. You know, athletes. You know, they were all there.
How did they determine who sat in those chairs around the ring? Were there tickets or something? Like, how did they do that? Okay.
Yeah,
right. I thought it was cool shit, man.
Yeah, there were tickets for the ringside seating, and then believe it or not, you have to pay to park at that venue. So I don't know, logistically speaking, how it worked out, but you know, it wound up being a super, super successful event. Yeah.
He should take that on the road to other malls, because malls, they're dying. I mean, the malls are looking for anything, dude.
Well, this is the third mall show or fourth mall show you guys did in a year for Kevin. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of malls. He did Palisades. Nice. What was it? Palisades, and what was the other one?
Yep.
Crystal Run Galleria, and then American Dream.
We've done Palisades a few times now, and then the first time at American Dream. And again, anytime we do these kinds of things, like, you know, it goes by so quick, and you're probably never going to have a chance to do something like that ever again. So,
yo, Donnie's wheels are turning, JP. I see Don. I know Donnie well enough that his wheels are turning. There are so many malls in New Jersey.
I would say Freehold Mall would be a good one to try, or maybe what's the other one up north? Christ, it's not too far away near Secaucus. What's the other mall up there? Something with a P. Is there a Paramus Mall?
No, you're thinking of the Garden State Mall.
Maybe that's it. They have the store in there where you buy the sofa that's super expensive because it's in pieces. The Love Sack thing. That store is. That's all I know that, because we bought one of those. But that mall was mobbed when we went there. It's not too far from the iFly, the indoor flying thing, the skydiving. Yeah. It's near there.
It's a busy mall, but the layout, there is no space for a ring in that mall.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know. Freehold Mall has a pretty cool middle that could work.
Mm-hmm.
Give that a shot. But I think it's cool shit, man. Like I said, I'm a big fan of outside-the-box stuff. That's why I used to do the fairs. Like I said, I did the show at Home Depot once. Just outside-the-box shit where people would go, oh, man. I know Dave Sturcio and those guys are doing an event in the summer at Martell's on the beach. That's a pretty cool idea. We'll see how that works.
We'll follow that.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's going to depend on weather, and it's going to depend on if people want to plunk down money to come sit and watch it or hang out. Hopefully they can figure out a way to keep the gawkers away or whatever. They'll figure it out. But
Donnie,
kudos to them.
We'll see where it fits on our show too. Will it fit into the light side of the ring? Will it fit into 15 minutes? Will it fit into 50 shades of wrestling?
Everyone is fair game, man. If you're like a shady mofo, you're going to be called out.
It's like Plinko, and on the bottom we have it written, the three things. And
yeah,
it can fall in one of the three, and it just
there. Mark my words. In 2 weeks, when we come back on the Monday after WrestleMania, we will be talking about all three of those. We will be talking about some good shit that happened in the light side, some shady shit that went down with some shows over that weekend, and some 15 minutes of fame. I guarantee you, from the results of the WrestleMania shows, the WrestleMania weekend shows, we will fill all three of those categories. You watch.
Yeah. That the is good, a challenge. The bad, and the ugly.
Yep.
Challenge accepted.
That's the name of the show after WrestleMania, the good, bad, and ugly of WrestleMania weekend.
I like it.
There you go.
I love it. That is awesome.
Hell yeah.
And so last thing to say, guys, next week, the Messiah right here with us. One of my old boys, man. It's going to feel good. I'm excited. I know you guys are excited. Dude's the man.
Hell yeah.
Let's try to FOMO the hell out of him and get him to want to come back and wrestle, because he's still in shape.
Whatever happened to him?
He's going to act like he's old and a family man, and he can't do it anymore.
Whatever happened to him? What did he ever wind up doing?
15 minutes of fame, if he wanted to explain that.
He
left the business. Donnie, the whole thing that happened back in the day, and I hate
I know he got jumped and all that. I know all that.
Yeah, exactly.
The porn guy. What was his name? The guy from XPW?
Rob Black.
Yeah, Rob Black.
Is he a porno guy or something? I just remember that. But
Associates, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
I think he was in league with Jasmine St. Clair, but I'm not sure.
She just
So, all right, guys, have a good one. Thanks for joining me. And we will see you guys next week on the Go Home.
Yes.
And don't forget, special time, 9:30. We're going to be hitting the West Coast crew, guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Everybody, have a good one.
Peace. Bye-bye.